Thank you, Father. Yeah. Praise God. So good. Amen. 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 That was good, love. Thank you. Spiritual transactions create spiritual connections.
Yes.
We've seen that over and over and over in our lives.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Important, important things. Praise God. If you are not spiritually connected somewhere, seek God. Find out where you're supposed to be connected. And
that's right.
I know most of us are, but it's important when He deals with us to be connected somewhere that we follow that prompting. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we're grateful today for all that you have for us. We're thankful for the word, that it transforms us, that it changes us, that it takes us from one level to another, from faith to faith, from glory to glory, that we can move in you and through you to different places because of what you've given to us through this word. We're thankful for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you would. We're going to continue from where we were last week. And so I'd like to look in 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to just to read this without stopping too much as we review what we looked at last week. But let's start in chapter 1, verse 3 of 2 Peter. And it says some tremendous verses, just tremendous things that he says here. He says, His divine power has granted to us, all things.
All things.
All things.
Man, that is just amazing. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Yes.
So, His divine power has already supplied, it's already provided for us what we need.
Yes.
In this life, and to walk a godly or in holiness, in godliness, in spirituality, we could say. He's provided all these things. But we understand this. I know a lot of people that would say they're Christians, but they're not walking in all that God has provided for them.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
They're not experiencing, let's say this, they're not experiencing all that God has for them. We could say this about ourselves. We probably aren't experiencing everything that God's provided for us, right?
Yes.
Because we're always growing. We're always learning more. We're supposed to be increasing in the knowledge of God. And so these things that God's provided for us, they come to us through the knowledge of Him.
Mm-hmm.
Who called us to His own glory and excellence. So these things come through knowledge. And verse 4 says, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises. So that through them, the promises, you may become partakers. What's a partaker? Have you ever partaken of a meal? What does that mean? You take some of it, right?
Yes.
Not only do you take it and put it on your plate, you take it and put it inside yourself, right?
Yeah.
So He wants us to be partakers of His divine nature.
Glory.
Now that's written here, but a lot of Christians don't necessarily believe this. They believe God is God. And we're down here, and we believe in God, but we're very separate.
Yes.
We're very separate, meaning He's God, we're just lowly humans, and, you know, we're just kind of going to get by on earth and hope that God helps us out once in a while. Can you lend me a hand?
Yeah.
And when I exit this earth, then I move to heaven, and I'll be more like Him.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. It's really not what the scripture teaches. We understand God's God. He's always God. We're not God. Right?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely.
But according to scriptures like this, we are to be partaking of his divine nature. Yes. That means we get to partake. We get to eat some of it. We get to ingest some of it. We get to have some of it in our lives.
Yes. Divine nature.
We get to walk around with some of his divine nature.
Amen.
Wow, that changes things.
Yes, it does.
That means that I can do things that in the natural, I'm not good at.
Yeah.
In the natural, I'm not comfortable with.
Yeah.
But if he's called me to do it, I can partake of his help, his divine nature, and step into something that in the natural I wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's amazing. I said I wasn't going to preach these verses, but here we are. Glory to God. So these great promises. Now, let's just think about the word promises for a second, because, when you're 6 or 7 years old, you can, you pinky promise, right? You pinky promise with somebody, and I pinky promise to always do this or to do that, you know? So a lot of us have this idea of promise, like they may keep that promise, that person may keep a promise, and they may not. And that promise is something you agree to do in the future, right?
Yeah.
I promise to always be your friend, you know? I promise to always do this. But with God, his promises, a lot of his promises have already been accomplished.
Yes.
Right.
Wow. Right?
Right. Wow.
His word is already here. Yes. These are his promises. And yes, some of it is for the future. We understand Jesus is coming back again. Praise God. There's things that are still yet to come. But I'd say the majority of this has already been provided. How do I know? I read verse 3. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness.
Amen.
Those are his promises. He's already provided for us all things. It's our job to, through knowledge of these promises, partake.
Yes.
Partake. So the more we learn about this word, the more we activate or put into action in our lives that which he says we already have, he's already provided, the more we'll see.
Amen.
The more we experience.
Amen.
So he has granted to us his precious and very great promises. These aren't pinky promises like we hope that he'll do this. This is things he's already done.
Right.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And it's already written in his word. Done. These things are already taken care of. Jesus already paid the price on the cross. He already died. He was already resurrected.
Amen.
Right? Those things are done. Praise God. So that through them, these promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature.
Yes.
Having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Praise the Lord.
Yay.
For this very reason. What very reason? The reason that we're supposed to be partaking his divine nature, that we already have these great promises that we can glean from and gain knowledge from and start to partake in a greater way of who God is.
Yes.
For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith. What's your faith? Your faith is your belief in God, right?
Yeah.
Your belief in this word. Your belief that he's already provided.
Yes.
But it's not just enough to believe that he's done what he said he'd do.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not just enough to believe it. We have to add some things to our faith.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
There are some supplements. We said this last week, a supplement. A lot of times we use that word for vitamins, right? I take a supplement every day with my meal. What's that? You're adding to that which your meal is supposed to be providing, you know? If you eat at Chick-fil-A every day, you're going to need some supplements, right?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
You're going to need some supplements. You know, it tastes good, but we need some extra. Right?
Kale salad.
Kale salad. Praise the Lord. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And virtue with knowledge.
Yes.
And knowledge with self-control. And self-control with steadfastness. And steadfastness with godliness.
Mm-hmm.
Godliness with brotherly affection. And brotherly affection with love. There are seven different categories here. Seven
yes.
different things listed. And he's saying these seven things, we are to make every effort to add these to our faith. And we said this last week, these seven, you could call them pillars if you like, these seven categories, these seven characteristics, these seven pillars are like the pillars underneath a bridge. If a bridge is your faith, you need these seven different things underneath your bridge of faith for your faith to be effective.
That's right.
Right?
Amen.
Right? So it's important that we make every effort. What's that? We need to make sure that these things are in place. Not only that these characteristics are in place, but that they're increasing. They're being
right.
fortified.
Increasing.
Right?
Yes.
And so we started last week talking about this first one, but before we get back to this word virtue, I want to read verse 8 to you because there's a reason we're looking at these qualities. It says for in verse 8, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful.
That's
in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a reason we're looking at these qualities, the scripture says, calls them in the ESV, because they can keep us if we will make sure that these seven pillars are in place in our life and are increasing. This will help us to keep us from being ineffective, or we could say this way, it will help us be effective, right?
Yes.
These will help us be effective, help our faith be effective, help our Christian walk be effective.
Amen.
Here on this earth. So these are important things.
Yes.
It says in verse 9, oh boy, sometimes really? The Bible really hits home. Whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind. Yikes. Having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins.
Wow.
Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Wow. Is it possible to walk your Christian walk on this earth and never fall? According to Peter,
yes.
It is. It's possible to go from strength to strength in God. It's possible to grow stronger and stronger in Him. It's possible to never have a bad day again. Right? It's possible to move forward. And I'm not saying that there won't be bad circumstances that come, but you've gained so much victory from the word. You've gained so much strength in your inner man, in your spirit, that you can walk through life at a different level than people who don't
know
God.
Right.
Amen.
It's possible to practice these qualities to the point that you never fall or never fail.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
So obviously these seven categories, these seven characteristics are very important.
Yes.
And I'll just add to what Reverend Joel was saying during the offering. So many Christians, myself included, would rather just leave everything up to God. God, if you want it to happen, just make it happen.
Right.
If you want to do it, just do it. I'm willing to go wherever you want me to go. Just do it. But when we look at the scriptures over and over and over, we see things like, we need to make every effort. We need to add some things to our faith. Yeah. We need to understand and have knowledge of these precious promises that have been given to us. We have some part to play. And unfortunately, it's really a big part. And so this first, in verse 5, he says, for this reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. Virtue. Mm-hmm. So we started looking at that particular word last week. This word virtue is also translated excellence.
Yay. Yeah.
Yes.
This word, Peter used this word four different times in his two different books that he has, two different letters. Paul used this word once. In Philippians 4:8, we see it when it talks about what we're supposed to think on. Think, you know, brethren, whatever's true, whatever's honorable, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable. If there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So that word in Philippians is translated excellence, this word virtue, excellence. Amen. And we see if you look this up in the Greek concordance, it talks about, it's not just excellence in doing everything perfectly. It's talking about moral excellence.
Yes.
Something on the inside, right? Moral excellence, virtue. And this word excellence, Peter, when he writes it, this is the one time he talks about us being virtuous or excellence. The other times he's talking about God being excellent.
Wow.
So he's wanting us to add this type of excellence that God already has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Can we be as excellent as God? Peter says we better make every effort.
Mm-hmm.
We better make every effort to have this kind of excellence in our life, why it's a pillar for our life that upholds our faith.
Amen.
So there is a lot that we could find in Scripture about excellence, and there's actually a couple different people in the Old Testament that portray this excellence.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just going to take our time. We've got time, right? That's the great thing about Sunday church is we've got time. We can take as many Sundays as we need to look at these things. And we might not take three Sundays necessarily to look at every single one of these characteristics. But this word excellence, man, it's so, so important to our lives. And so many people think, well, you know, I'm not perfect. That, you know, that's their kind of excuse for not doing things well.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not talking about being perfect in that everything is just set perfectly. You know, when we see that word perfect in Scripture, it's talking about being mature.
Mature.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And God expects us to mature.
Yes.
He expects us to grow. He expects us to add things to our faith. And so turn with me, if we could, today. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's look in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. And we're just going to read some of the scripture today. Praise the Lord, because it's good. It's good for us.
Yes.
It's helpful to us. Genesis 39, we're picking up here in the middle of the story of Joseph. Everyone heard of Joseph, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we know Joseph. Of course, when he was a teenager, he had some dreams. They were some very interesting dreams. Joseph, he He made the mistake of sharing his dreams with his family. They weren't too excited about those dreams because each of these dreams showed Joseph being raised up and his family bowing down to him. And they said, "Who do you think you are? You're one of the youngest kids here. You know, you're not old like us." And Joseph had many brothers. They wind up, the brothers were so jealous of Joseph. Joseph was favored by his father. They were so jealous of him that they wind up, they were going to kill him.
Yeah.
They threw him in a pit to kill him.
Right.
And one of the youngest was like, we can't kill him. Like, that's really bad. We can't kill him. So they decide this band of slave traders comes by and they decide, oh, we won't kill him, we'll sell him and then we'll get money. That's even better than killing him. So they sell him to these slave traders. The slave traders take him down to Egypt and he gets sold to a man named Potiphar. And that's where we pick up this story when Joseph is in slavery. It says in verse 1, now Joseph had been brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, the captain of the guard, an Egyptian, had bought him from the Ishmaelites who had brought him down there. The Lord was with Joseph. Do we see that? Mm-hmm. The Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. Wait a minute, I thought he was a slave. Listen, wherever you're at, you can become successful.
Yes.
We're talking about moral excellence, something on the inside of you that allows you to be promoted, allows you to come above the rest of your peers.
Yeah.
No matter where you're at, no matter what level you're at. So as a slave, verse 2 says, the Lord was with Joseph, and he became a successful man. And he was in the house of his Egyptian master. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that Joseph did to succeed in his hands. Wow. Can our boss say that about us? Wow. That everything I put my hand to succeeds.
Amen.
Has excellence about it. So Joseph found favor in his sight and attended him. And he, Potiphar, made Joseph overseer of his house and put him in charge of all that he had. I mean, we're talking finances. We're talking the land. We're talking the house. From the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that Potiphar had, the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. The blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in house and field. Wow.
Wow.
So he left all that he had in Joseph's charge, and because of Joseph, he had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Every natural boss on this earth should be looking for Christians to work for them.
Yeah, they should be.
It should be that much of a difference in their business.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Unfortunately, as business owners, we've not necessarily seen that someone who says they're a Christian makes much difference.
That's right. Yeah.
But that's not us.
Well.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
So the end of verse 6 says, now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Now that's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be excellent, let's just be all the way excellent, right?
Yes.
And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. Verse 8 says, but Joseph refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put me, has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Now, this is a young man. In the, you know, hormones are going. He's good looking. He's a slave in his master's house. So he's not exactly able to go out and get married at this point. He's got the wife of the master, who obviously would keep this hidden from the master if this soiree happened, right? So if there was anyone he was going to be able to enjoy this part of life with, it would be her. And he says something so very interesting. He says, my master's given me everything in this house. He said, I'm equal to him in everything in this house. What does he mean? The excellence that God's put in me has allowed me to elevate myself. I'm right next to him in everything. Even though he, Potiphar, owns it all, I'm over it all. He understood what this excellence would bring him to. And he says to her, he's given me everything. He's not kept, in verse 9, he's not kept back anything from me except you. Now, as Potiphar started to give him more, give Joseph more and more responsibility, do you think Potiphar actually said, you can have everything except my wife, she's off limits?
No.
Yeah, you know, my husband's probably worked with, you know, dozens of different people, and I don't know that he's ever said, you can have anything in the house, you know, if you're visiting the house, you can have anything in the house except my wife, she's off limits. It's not like the first thing we think of. I mean, no, what are we saying? That's understood. Why? There's a moral line there that is not to be crossed. It's not that Potiphar verbally said, sorry, you can't have my wife.
Right.
But Joseph stated, he's given me everything in his realm except you. Why? Because there's standards.
That's right.
There's standards in life. And as a believer in God, someone who's looking to God for everything that I do, I won't cross that standard. I won't step over that standard and do ill to my master by morally degrading him and taking his wife. This is amazing. I mean, he's probably in his early 20s at this point, because he was about 17 or 18 when he got sold. So my goodness, what character he has as a young man. Why? Because he's seen how God has promoted him.
Yes.
But what we also see is the more you get promoted, the bigger temptations are going to come. Mm-hmm. The bigger decisions are going to have to be made.
That's right.
That's why Peter said, we need to make every effort to fortify ourselves with excellence.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That means when we're first getting started out, when there's a temptation to just... I know when we were coming up in Bible school and stuff, they used to say things like, you don't take the paper clips out of the closet, the work closet, and take them home. You know, things like that. Right. You don't steal a ream of paper and bring it home. Why? You didn't buy that. That's not yours.
Right.
That's the company's paper clips.
Right.
And you might think it's just $1.50 paper clips. So go buy some yourself.
That's right.
But until you are the owner of that business and you are buying those paper clips, they are not your paper clips.
That's right.
And if we're not careful, we might think, well, they're just paper clips.
Yep.
No, this is a time to show moral excellence.
Yes.
That's right.
This is time to fortify the pillars in our lives. Make every effort to add to yourself excellence in every area. So Joseph is like, how could I do this to my master? And we understand that if he had gone ahead and did it, she wouldn't have told the master. The servant certainly wouldn't have told the master. It would have been hushed. So it's not like he couldn't have done it and probably gotten away with it. But then he wouldn't have on the inside the level of confidence, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He would have been undergirding or hitting, you know, putting cracks in that pillar.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
That was in his life. When cracks get in a cement pillar, it might hold up that bridge for a while.
Come on now.
Yeah.
Right? It may keep working for a while. I just read yesterday they had to close a bridge that's on Route 50 by Montrose.
Yeah.
They had to close a bridge because it's not supporting correctly. It's not fortified correctly. And they said it's a 3-hour and 45-minute workaround for the trucks and different things that have to go either I-70 or all the way down to the southern part of the state and back up. We might think that just a little thing, it's not going to matter that much, but every time we compromise.
Yes, come on now.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Every time we step past what on the inside our spirit's saying, don't do that. We're talking about moral excellence. We're talking about excellence on the inside that shows up on the outside.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Amen.
We're not talking about being perfect in every, you know, my hair's always perfect, my nails are always perfect. I'm not talking about what the world considers perfect. I'm talking about what God considers excellent.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's our inner man. Paying attention to what the scriptures say and what the Spirit of God on the inside is saying. And if the Spirit is saying, don't do that, will we pay attention to it? Because if we step past that, we've just taken a step past, we just demoted ourselves from excellence.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Amen.
We've just put a crack in the pillar. Mm-hmm. And if we keep going down that road, it's going to compromise our faith.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's going to compromise our walk with God.
Amen.
And things of the enemy, fear, trauma, torturous thoughts will be allowed in.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. Why? Because we stepped past, we pushed past something that God was saying, don't do that. Moral excellence is major with God.
Yeah.
It's a major thing with God. And he's not gonna ask us to do things, he works with us. They're baby steps, right? He's not, you know, the day I got saved, he didn't ask me to transform my entire life and my entire way of thinking. He took things progressively, little steps. But the further you go, the more excellence is called for.
That's right. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
The more these things matter. How we handle each other, meaning how we speak to one another, how we treat one another, all this comes back to, are we excellent with what God's shown us and with what God has for us? My goodness. So he said to Potiphar's wife, how could I do this to my master? Verse 9 says, he's not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against my master?
No, sin against God.
God.
sin against God. Listen, if you take the paperclips when the Spirit of God deals with you not to, it's not just taking from the company. It's subtracting from your walk with God. Wow. Verse 10 says this, and as she spoke to Joseph day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. Listen, just because somebody or a temptation or a thought keeps coming day after day, day after day, the enemy might say, well, nobody will know. It's not that big of a deal. Don't worry about it. It's, you know, nobody's perfect. It's okay to do it just this time. Day after day, this woman kept after him. He's good looking. And he probably knows it. And the enemy's right there to help, saying, oh, Potiphar will never find out. She would never say anything. Just what does it matter? Day after day.
Can I add something?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know where the... Oh.
To me, what's so remarkable about this, about his ability to resist is he could have justified it by saying, well, she's the boss. I'm the slave.
Yeah.
She's not a slave.
No.
He's a house slave. She's the mistress of the house. He really should have done what she told him to do.
Right.
And so this is just an extra layer of character. Amazing.
Right.
That's all.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
That is
absolutely
true. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So yeah, that's a whole nother level, right? When your boss is asking you to do something illegal. Just fix the books, right? So make it look like this.
He could have been put to death for saying no.
And Potiphar's wife makes him pay for saying no.
Yeah.
So day after day, he would not listen to her to lie beside her or be with her. But one day, when he went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were in the house, she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. Oh, good boy. Good boy. What do you do when someone's trying to ensnare you, to trap you in a thing? He runs. He runs out of his coat. He takes, whoa, I'm leaving that behind and I'm getting out. Why? Because I know this is not right.
Yeah.
Yes.
So she, as soon as she sees, verse 13, that she has his garment in her hand, and that he went out of the house, she called to the men of her household and said to them, see how he has brought among us a Hebrew to laugh at us? He came in to me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice. And as soon as he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried out, he left his garment beside me and fled and got out of the house. Then she laid up his garment by her until his master came home, and she told him the same story. Telling stories, fabricating stories to defame or to kind of, underride someone's character. Guys, don't believe everything you see on social media or hear on the news.
Yeah,
this
right.
is still happening today. It happened way back then.
That's right.
Praise the Lord. The Hebrew servant whom you have brought among us came in to me to laugh at me. But as soon as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment beside me and fled out of the house. And as soon as his master heard the words that his wife spoke to him, this is the way your servant treated me? His anger was kindled. Mm-hmm. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison the place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison, but the Lord was with Joseph.
Yes.
Guys, your moral excellence will not always be welcomed by everyone in the world.
That's right.
True.
Yes.
Your stalwartness in the things of God will attract attention, both positively and negatively.
Yes. Yeah.
It can't affect your excellence. You have to follow God.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord was still with Joseph in prison. Now, Joseph could have said, "That's it, I give up. I tried to follow God and tell my brothers about these great dreams I was having and fellowship, and I had these great encounters with God. And what did it get me? I was sold as a slave."
Yeah.
And then I swallowed that, and I put my hand to everything that my master asked me to do, and everything in his house excelled because I was there and God was with me. And God, I served you, and I said no to that woman. And what did it get me? A prison sentence.
Mm-hmm.
He could have gone in the corner of the prison and just said, "Forget it. I'm done with God. I'm done with trying to do things the right way." But let me ask you, if you do that in your life, if Joseph had done that, where would he have been for the rest of his life? In prison! He would have never gotten out! Why? Because it's only with God that we excel. It's only with God that we get promoted. It's only in God that we can really be fulfilled in our life. And to give up partway through and say, "Forget it, I'm done. I tried this Christian thing and it doesn't work. I've tried this and it doesn't work." That's ridiculous.
Come on now.
Yeah, come on.
Just because people in the world treated you ill, just because the enemy tried to bring circumstances to trip you up, it doesn't mean God's not real. It doesn't mean that his word doesn't work.
Right.
It just means that there's an enemy out there.
Yeah.
But moral excellence will rise to the occasion and say, "All right, I may be put in the prison, but I'm not going to let the prison get in me."
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not going to allow the outward circumstances of my life to dictate who I am and what I believe.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. That's good. Thank you.
So verse 21 says, "The Lord was with Joseph and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." And the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners who were in the prison. And whatever was done there, Joseph was the one who did it. He rose to the top of the prisoners.
Yeah.
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 He's in charge of all the goings on in the prison.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
Listen, when excellence is in you and fortified, you will rise to the top of wherever God places you.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Amen.
Yeah.
Even if the circumstances aren't great.
Yeah. That's right.
Even if it's prison.
Yeah.
That's right.
And there's been times in our life where God's taken us to places. It wasn't an actual prison, but it kind of felt like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are we here? What did we do?
Yeah.
But this is all to test what's on the inside of us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Will you rise to the occasion? Will you be excellent?
Yes.
Will you trust him? Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
So the keeper of the prison put Joseph in charge of all the prisoners. Whatever was done there, he was the one who did it. And the keeper of the prison paid no attention to anything that was in Joseph's charge, because the Lord was with him. And whatever Joseph did, the Lord made it succeed.
Amen.
Wow.
Glory.
Wow. So we don't have a ton of time to go through, but we understand. If you remember the story, two of the king's workers get thrown into prison. The king had a bad day. Threw some of the guys in the prison, and they each, over the course of some time, had a dream, and Joseph interpreted their dream for them. And the first guy, the dream was, hey, you're going to be restored. You're going to be serving the king again, the cupbearer. And so the baker was like, oh, that was a good interpretation of that dream. So the baker said, what about my dream? And Joseph said, sorry, you're going to lose your head. And it came to pass exactly the way it said. And Joseph said to the cupbearer, when you get back to the king, remember me. I'm innocent. I never did what I was accused of. Man, you could really, I mean, how many years was he in prison? I don't know, but you could really let that mess with you. I was innocent. I was innocent. Yeah. I was innocent. I shouldn't be here. And the world will work on you, and the enemy will work on you and say, well, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. You don't deserve this. God isn't looking for you to see what you deserve and what you don't deserve. He's looking to see, will you rise up where you're at? Yeah. No matter what the world serves you, will you still be excellent on the inside?
Right.
And so the cupbearer gets out and forgets to tell the king that there's this really great guy in there who's innocent and you really should let him go. And it's years that go by and the king finally has a dream and they need an interpreter and the cupbearer goes, oh yeah, my bad. There's actually a really great guy. He's in the prison. He really shouldn't be there. But he can interpret dreams, and he does it accurately. And so, in one day, Joseph gets called out of the prison. He gets a bath, a shave, new clothes, thank God.
Yeah.
Goes before the king, interprets the dream, and the king says, you know, you remember the dream, it was there's going to be 7 years of great increase.
Yes.
In the land, and then there's going to be 7 years of extreme famine.
That's right. Yeah.
And he said, Joseph said to the king, you need to put someone in charge that will handle the increase correctly and save so that you're ready for the famine.
That's right.
And the king says, well, anyone who's excellent enough to know the dream and interpret it, they must be excellent enough to handle the whole situation. And he puts Joseph in charge of the entire country.
Entire.
Of the entire country. And says, there is no one greater in this land than Joseph, besides me, the king, the Pharaoh. And in one day,
in one day,
he went from a prisoner to second in command of a nation.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he was morally excellent for years as a servant.
Yes.
And then years as a prisoner. It says, the Bible tells us that he was 30 years old when he became the leader of Egypt, second in command. So from whatever age, I didn't look to see if it says specifically his age when he was enslaved. He was a teen, late teen, so 17, 18 to age 30. 11, 12 years, 13 years of being put in places that he didn't really deserve.
Right.
Yeah.
But it can take sometimes years for our character to be developed and strengthened and fortified.
Yes.
If he had just started as second in command, that's how people get corrupt. They think they did all this themselves.
Right.
So we can't be upset. I know we'll finish here in a minute. We can't be upset with the fact that we're in a situation that's frustrating, that we don't like, that it's just not fun. It's just, I don't really like this job. What if God's building in the inside of us some moral excellence,
yes,
some fiber, some stalwartness,
yes,
to overcome in any situation, to do the right thing in any situation? What if that boss of yours that rubs you the wrong way is actually helping you?
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
To become stronger.
Praise the Lord.
I don't want to say harp on this. We hang on this because our society in general demands its own rights.
That's right.
And if someone is oppressive, if someone talks to me the wrong way, if someone looks at me the wrong way, if someone doesn't say something that's really encouched in really beautiful, nice, soft tones, like, you're really great, I really love you, but I just need you to tweak this. If they don't say it just the right way, people quit.
Yep.
If the president doesn't meet my demands.
It's not my president because my, you know, listen, there's we've got to be careful of this worldly idea that, you know, everything has to be perfect for me to stay.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Joseph didn't have a choice.
Nope.
Slave, prison. Right?
Yeah.
We don't live in that society anymore, thankfully. Mm-hmm. I mean, we do have prisons.
Yeah.
Don't go there.
No. Praise the Lord.
Right, right. But Joseph was put there falsely. But he didn't let it affect his inward man.
Mm-hmm.
Praise the Lord. Well, our time is beyond up. So we're gonna unhook here. But this is just one of the examples in Scripture about what excellence will accomplish.
Yes.
Moral excellence. It translated to every part of his life. It wasn't just between his relationship with him and God. But because he was excellent in everything he did, he succeeded in business. He succeeded in any place he was at. He succeeded for his boss. He succeeded in everything he put his hand to because inside he wouldn't back down.
Amen.
And compromise.
That's right. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
So, Father, thank you today,
yes,
for this word.
You,
we're grateful for it. Lord, show us, help us, lead us, guide us, and reveal to us areas where we can fortify ourselves,
yes,
to be excellent. Help us to strengthen ourselves in this area. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.